to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
And moved and lived most of my life in Virginia, and we did not have the prejudice that's prevalent in the South, or more so, or even now. And so I grew up, and my best friend, you know, was African American, and growing up in high school, and with And, you know, when I married somebody from another country. Come on, somebody. You know, my wife is not American born and bred. She is born in Lebanon, and she's an Armenian. She's a Lebanese Armenian. And we travel the country a lot of times, and we feel the prejudice of when her passport on their place of birth is Beirut, Lebanon. She's continually popped out of line and searched and looked at. I mean, it's Jasmine. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, if you don't get anybody, get Ben. Ben's the one you ought to get, you know, not Jasmine. You know, and we were eating in a restaurant here, and a Lebanese restaurant, and Jasmine speaks Arabic, and so she speaks four languages fluently and two other ones, so six languages in all. And she says, I'm from Lebanon. And then he finds out she's Armenian. He says to her, but I'm real Armenian. I mean, I'm real Lebanese. I'm real Lebanese. So prejudice occurs in all facets of life. But in my life, it hadn't been one of those things. Because when I got married, I never thought about a thing about marrying someone from a different... I remember one time a person came and said, Pastor, what do you think about marrying somebody that's not American? And they didn't know that I was married to Jasmine. And I said, well, I think I'm for it. If I take it, I'm for it. And so in doing all that, and I'm going to tell you the truth, I think one of the greatest things happened was having an African-American president in terms of being voted in. In that context only, I think it's, I love it. I just think it's fantastic. And also, secondly, is having an African-American president that's named Barack Hussein Obama. I'm bad as Ted Kennedy. Saying that, can you imagine around the world, I mean, you've got Arab countries around the world, and America has elected Barack Hussein Obama as president. How many know that messes their minds up a little bit in America? And all that. And let me just tell you the truth. I have learned in my life, if you had to ask me now morally, and I'm talking about not moral in the standpoint from Americans' viewpoint, but I'm talking about morally from God's viewpoint of I'm on the Lord's side, what God is for. The only one in the whole group of the four running for president, vice president, I believe was on the Lord's side was Governor Palin. And I'm going to tell you this, but I do not want Governor Palin as my president. I'm just being real honest with you. I'm not prejudiced. I'm not, you know, some sort of chauvinist pig. I'm not that. I'm just telling you who I feel the Lord would put in. Now, I would love to have Governor Jindal as our president. I would like that one day, but we'll see. But just before I say anything, just so you know where I'm coming from, and you understand, I'm from the North. I'm not a Southerner. I'm from the North. Grew up in the North, went to college in the North, went to Virginia Tech. And so just to understand where I'm coming from, because what I see in America, I see around the world. And the name of the sermon this morning is this. It's called The Great Deception. Now, when I preach it, I want you to listen to my heart, because the Bible says we're to honor those in authority over us. And you'll see at the very end, when God sent his son, God didn't wait until he had a Republican president over Rome to send his son Jesus into the world. He had ungodly rulers throughout the early church and throughout the Old Testament, whether they were religious or not. And the problem is the deception taking place, thinking that somehow the Republican candidate was more religious in terms of true religion than the Democratic. I am a registered Democrat. I did that on purpose, so that nobody would put their hope in earthly governments. And listen, my hope is not in the White House. It's in God's house. Come on, somebody. Because during the era of Ronald Reagan, more people put their hope in the government than they did in God. And he made some of the worst decisions on putting people into the Supreme Court than anybody ever did. President Nixon, a Republican, put in some of the worst people into the Supreme Court than anybody else did. So you come to a place today where is, you know, we talk about don't vote, you know, party lines, But you need to get out, if you're a Republican, you need to get out of just thinking God is only, listen, God is not white. God is not black. God is not a Democrat. God is not a Republican. He's not an American. He's the God of all the earth. Come on, somebody. So you come to that place. But here's what I'm gonna talk to you, because somebody sent me a email, and on the email they had gone down into some part of New York City and they'd interview people who they're gonna vote for. And here's what they said. You ought to heard this interview. This interview was, they said, they mixed the two things. They mixed the two of them together. They said, "Who are you voting for?" And if they said Obama, they began to talk about his running mate, Sarah Palin. Or is that her name, Sarah? Sarah Palin. What do you think about his running mate, Sarah Palin? Oh, I love her. Then if they said they're going to vote for McCain, they talked about, what was his name? Biden. Joe, they said, what do you think about him picking Joe Biden at his run? Oh, I think it was a great choice. If they said they were voting for McCain, they said, well, what do you think about McCain wanting to pull all the troops out of Iraq real quickly? Oh, we agree with him. 100% we agree with him. If they said Obama, they said, what do you think about Obama wanting to leave the troops in Iraq for 100 years? I think he's right. He ought to leave them there 100 years. That's why I'm voting for him. You ought to heard this interview. They had no idea about anything. And so when you do that, I want to talk to you. Listen, I see on Republicans and Democrats and independents, I see this thing that I want to call this morning called the Great Deception. Everybody say the Great Deception. I'm seeing this. It doesn't matter whether you're white or black, whether you're American or Lebanese or Armenian, whether, you know, my kids over there, half American, half Armed. You know, when they were little, they used to get tormented out by their brother and by their uncles out in California. And Benjamin, especially Benjamin, would say, "I'm not Armenian. I'm American. I'm American." He would say that. But they're half Lebanese, half Armenian, half American. But listen, this thing that I'm seeing is across every gender line, across every race line, across every political line. It does not matter. There is a deception taking place. It's not whether God is on our side, it's whether we're on the Lord's side. Whether we're standing for what God stands for. And we need to come to that place where, listen, you come to the place in your life where you say, "I'm going to obey God regardless of what's taking place in this world." So I want to talk to you. That's the premise, and let's preach. Go ahead to the Isaiah. Isaiah says, "How have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? You've been cut down." Many believe, and I believe also, this is referring to the devil, to Satan before he fell. "How have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn? You've been cast down or cut down to the earth, you who have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you will be thrust down the Sheol to the recesses of the pit.'" Verse 14 is our text this morning. I want you to notice this. "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." I want to talk to you about the great deception that's happening across the world today. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray today that you would give me a voice to speak. And I pray for the people, Lord, here under this, that you have ears to hear. Lord, I bind what the devil would try to twist in any way, shape, or form on any kind of category. And I ask you, Lord, our hearts to be open to receive from you. We give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You can be seated today. Second Corinthians says this. "No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." Everybody say an angel of light. "We're often told to be careful of the roaring lion, which he does at times. But what we do not remember sometimes is that Satan many times will reveal himself, transform himself as an angel of light. So that when you're looking for the roaring lion, suddenly he transformed into an angel of light and he deceives you in how he comes. He comes not only as a roaring lion." We often think of the works of the devil as antichrist, to be against God, to be totally black and white against the Lord. But we never think that Satan would stoop to imitate God and to become as verse 14, Isaiah says this. He says, I will make myself like the Most High. We think when the devil comes, he's going to be so contrasted to God that we will know this is the devil. But what happens is, if he's got a Republican label on him, then we'll receive him and say, that man or that woman's of God. You got to get this in your heart, because it doesn't matter what their color, what their denomination is. Listen, there are deceiving spirits in the world today that they can be any label they want to be. And you begin to accept them, because if they weren't, they don't come as anti-God. They don't come as I'm against God. The Bible says he will make himself like the Most High. They distinguish themselves. They become like it. In fact, he says, I'll be like the Most. Everybody say the Most High. The Most High, Genesis 14, it defines who the Most High was. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought bread, and now he was a priest of God of the Most High. He blessed Abram, said, Abram, blessed be Abram of God, Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. See, the revelation of God as the Most High God was a revelation of God as the possessor of heaven and earth. That's what, when you said Most High, each of the names of God had a revelation about God. And the revelation about that name of God, that description of God being Most High, had the revelation. That meant he was the possessor of heaven and earth. And when the devil in the beginning said, I will ascend to the sides of the north, I will go up, I will make myself like the Most High, then one of the things he says, the Most High definition was the possessor of heaven and earth. One of the desires of the devil was to then to possess heaven and earth. It was to be like him, to be identified as the one who owned it. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus meets him in the 40 days of fasting, he says he led him, the devil led Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed to me, and I give it to whomever I will. See, the devil had become the possessor of earth. He'd become the possessor. In fact, the Bible says he's a prince in the power of the air. That's the second heaven. He'd become an imitation of God. He'd become the possessor. He'd become like the Most High God, because that's what he wanted to do. He ruled in the earth. The earth had been handed over to him. I won't go into all that study, but he'd been handed. In fact, John laments the fact in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. We know that we are of God, that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Why is that? Because he had desired to become like the Most High. He became possessor of heavens and earth. He had his intent was to deceive. His intent was not to come out blaring that I'm anti-God, I'm anti. His tactic had come that I am like God. In fact, he says, I am the possessor of heaven and earth. I am the Most High. That's his heart desire. In the beginning, when the devil fell, it wasn't that he got some enmity against God and hated everything God stood for. It was a jealousy. It was an envy thing, where he said, I want to be that. The devil, in some point, when he was a created being, the fall of him was, I want to be that. That's what I want to be. And so his desire has never changed. His desire has always been to imitate God. His desire is not to come out as anti-Christ, but to come out and say, I am Christ. I'm not against God. I am God. And when you begin to see one of the worst false religions of the world is put out by Oprah today. She's not just a television host. She's a leader of a cult that's beginning to say, you can be God. You can do this. You've got God within you. It's not anti-God. She's not standing there saying being against God. She's saying be for God. I'm for you if you're for God. In fact, you are God. It's happening in the world today. Genesis 3, look at this, the story of Adam and Eve in the fall. He says, a serpent said to the woman, you shall surely not die. For God knows in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be what? He didn't say do something against God. He wasn't tempting her to be anti-God. Do you know what his temptation was? Do this and you'll be more like him. do this. He says, you will be like, go back to that scripture if you would. Go back to it. He says, you do this and you will be like this. Says, know this, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The temptation that the devil gave to Eve was not to be against God, be more godly. In fact, you'll be God. You'll be just like God, knowing good and evil. If you'll do this, the temptation was you'll become, he encouraged her to become more like God. Do this and you'll be like God. Listen, it was a half-truth. Satan always deals in half-truths. In fact, 1 Timothy 2 and 14 says this, and it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Do you read that? One translation says this, she was quite deceived. See, the description of what happened at the very beginning was the devil who fell out of wanting to be like God. His original temptation of Eve was not to be against God, not to disobey God, but to be more like God. You'll be like God. You'll be more like God. You do this, what I'm telling you, and you'll become like God. You'll become more godly. And the Bible says that half-truths are what the devil deals in. And he'll come to you, and he deals with not only our nation, but around the world, is half-truths that the people that are doing what they're doing believe that they are becoming more godly like. They're becoming more like God. I'm doing these things because I believe in God's a good God. On and on. Genesis 6, the flood came as a result of this. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was on what? Good and evil, or on what? The devil said, you do this and you'll know good and evil. It was a half-truth, because when they did what they did, the results and the fruit of it was their hearts was not on good and evil. Their hearts came over here and stayed on evil continually. Can I get an amen this morning? That was the fruit of the devil's deception. Titus 1 says this. Listen to what he says in verse 15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Now, I want you to hear this. There's not one thing that a person outside of Jesus Christ can do that God is pleased with. Let's just think about it, what I just said. There's no act of humanitarianism. There's no kindness shown. There is nothing that a person can do that has rejected the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that is anywhere righteous before God. To the unrighteous and the defiled, who are unbelieving, nothing is pure. Both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. How can you say that you're on God's side when you stand up and you say, I'm for abortion? When it is the killing of an innocent baby. One of the greatest things we do next door over at CPC is the sonogram machines, and we got them. They told them it was a piece of plastic. It wasn't. When we show them a sonogram of their baby, all the arguments are over. They play a little game with, they say, pat your stomach. And when they pat, they see that baby responding. How can you say, even go beyond that, how can you say that you're for abortion for the entire 9 terms? How can you say that you are for a partial birth abortion, that a baby that could make it on the outside has to be let to die because the mother decided she wanted to abort the baby? We had the testimony of a nurse one time that came in and shared. She almost went insane because they ordered her, you cannot pick that baby up out of that trash can. That baby has to die. It's aborted. Where have we come to in America? It's like a woman that went in and she was pregnant. She found out she was pregnant and she had a 1-year-old already. And she came in and said, "Doctor, I need to get an abortion because, you know, I just can't take care of 2 babies. And the doctor says, "Well, just give me that 1-year-old. Let me cut his head off and you'll be okay then." And she recoiled. I mean, she went in shock and horror at this doctor. And then he looked at her and says, "What's the difference? Whether it's in your womb or outside your womb." Come on, somebody. See, I don't care whether they're I'm a Democrat. I don't care if they're Democrat, they're Republican. I don't care. And if they smell that thing with their mouth and say they're against it, but in their deeds, they never stand up for it. It's like Abraham Lincoln when he came against slavery in America. The party that was against, that was for slavery, was the other party. And you know what he said to him one time? He said, "You say that we shouldn't speak about it in public. Then you say we shouldn't bring it up in the churches. Then you say we shouldn't bring it up in the government because it's a business thing." He said, "When we come to the end of the road, there's nowhere to bring it up at." And people do the same thing about the atrocities we're facing today. It is no different than Hitler. It's no different than Stalin's, their death camps. It is no, every abortion clinic is a death camp in America. And anybody that would defend that, and listen, the safest place in America ought to be the womb of the mother. And it's become the most dangerous. The thing I'm more saddened by is the future appointment of Supreme Court justices and judges across our nation that's going to uphold a woman's right. All I'm saying is the one doing the choosing isn't doing the dying. And somebody ought to speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. And you ought to say it, whether they're a Republican or whether they're a Democrat. You ought to stand up and say, listen, it is not right. Titus said that they profess. Everybody say they profess. Go back, verse 16. It says they profess. Go verse 6. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good work. They profess. Everybody say they profess. The way I read it is a person can be lost and yet profess that they know God. Anything he does is for self-gratification. You hear that? Anything a person outside of Jesus, they really do it. The bottom line thing is for self-gratification. It's for doing what they want to do. Listen, can God find anything good in a sinner who's rebellion against the cross? Titus says they profess they know God. Totally deceived. Everybody say totally deceived. They profess they know God. They profess they know God. Oh yeah, I go to church. Whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, they show up on a Sunday photo op so they can have their photo taken with whoever. Listen, I told you this before. You're no more sitting in here. It doesn't make you no more a Christian than sitting in a garage makes you a car. Come on, somebody. It's because you sit in a garage. I'm a car. It doesn't make you a car. Well, I go to church. It doesn't make you. Well, good for you. But that didn't make you what you are. All right. Let's get on my hobby horse. Let's go on real quick. All right. They profess. They are deceived. You know, 2 Chronicles 21, Bathsheba was not the only time David got in trouble. Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. I won't go into all the ins and outs of this, but the Bible says a day came when David numbered Israel and he was deceived by the devil to number Israel, and it cost them many, many lives. Deception is evident throughout the Bible. In Job chapter 1, look at this. In Job chapter 1, while he was still speaking, another also came. The fire of God fell. Everybody say the fire of God. When you read the Bible, you know who's doing this. It's the devil doing this. How come anytime there's a calamity, why did God do this? Or why did God allow this? And they immediately attribute any catastrophe to God. I don't know if they still do this on insurance policy or not, but they used to have an exclusion on insurance policy at some point. It says, and any acts of God. Why don't they put any acts of the devil? Come on, somebody. So there is this automatic default that we've got in our brains that why did God, listen, God is not obligated to right every wrong right now. The day will come, payday will come one day, when God will require of every man, woman, and child, every word, every deed that they've ever done, and will, the Bible calls it that day. The day will come. It's going to be a long one. The day will come when we will give an account of everything we've ever done. And on that day, God will right every wrong. On that day, God will bring every thought into judgment. On that day, God will break and bring it all together. But right now, God's not obligated to do that. He, not one thought that just maybe Satan was responsible for many of the things. You know why? Because I'll tell you why. They are deceived. In 1 Kings 13, I'm just going to read this. He went after, so there was a story of a man, a prophet of God. And God says, I want you to go. I want you to tear down the idols in Israel. I want you to tear them down. Speak the word I give you. And he said, I don't want you to stay there. I don't want you to eat a bite there. I want you to leave. And I don't want you to go the same way you came. You go another, you leave a different direction. And this prophet of God goes and he begins to tear down the idols and speak a word of judgment against Israel. And the king came and stretched out his hand against his prophet, and the prophet's hand became leprous when he did it. He cried out in repentance, and the prophet prayed for the king, and the king's hand was restored. And when it's finished, the prophet begins to leave and obeying the Lord exactly. And notice this, there's a little boy watching all this. He runs home. His daddy's a prophet too. He goes, Daddy, you won't believe what took place. There was this man of God that came and did da-da-da-da-da and told him the whole story. And here's the story. So he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said, come home with me and eat bread. Then he said, I cannot return with you, nor go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For a command came to me by the word of the Lord. You shall eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor do not return by going this way by which you came. Go ahead, next one. And he said to him, I also am a prophet, and like you, an angel. Everybody say an angel. An angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. Strange story. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it came about as they were sitting down at the table, the word of the Lord came to prophet number two, who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God and came from Judah saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the command of the Lord and have not observed the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but have returned and eaten bread and drunk water in the place in which he said to you, eat no bread, drink no water, your body shall not come to the grave of your fathers. It came about after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled the donkey for him and the prophet whom he had brought back. And now when he had gone, a lion met him on the way and killed him, and his body was thrown in the road with the donkey standing beside it. The lion also was standing beside the body. An angel. The man of God was deceived because the word of the Lord was superseded by the word of an angel. We had people flocking down to Florida to a man who contradicted the Bible because of what an angel had told him. The Mormon church was founded by what an angel said. The Jehovah Witnesses were founded by what an angel said. I want you to know, look what the Apostle Paul said. Look at this. But even if we, now watch this. This is Paul saying this. But even if we are an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. You hear what Paul said? Paul said, if I show back up here next year, and even if I preach something different than what I'm telling you right now, call me accursed because I've backslidden. Something's happened. I've gotten deceived. Somewhere something's happened. How many know that helps me to know that they're not progressive truths that's going to contradict what God's already said? Come on, give a good clap offering. He said, even if I show up. He said, if an angel, Angel Moroni, angel whatever, shows up and begins to tell you stuff, let them be accursed. And I'm going to tell you, any angel, I don't care how religious the group looks, if that angel contradicts it, if that preacher contradicts them, they are accursed. You've got to get that in your spirit. There are some things that will never change. If we are an angel, other prophets said this. Listen, you begin to go, the prophet didn't come and say, don't do anything God said. You know what the prophet did? Number two, the prophet said, now here, I've got an angel appeared to me. And here's further revelation of what you're to do. Be more obedient to what God. Now, God's changed what he said. How many know God's still against premarital sex? God's still against it. Everybody say God's for sex. Come on, God's for sex. Well, that wasn't very enthusiastic, but God is for sex. He made it. He created us with desires and things of all that he gave us. But you know what? The devil has perverted it and told us what's wrong with, if both of you agree, what's wrong with that? I tell you what's wrong. God said it was wrong. I tell you what's wrong with having government officials that really don't let the Bible be the solid word of God and let it be the standard and let it be the line that you draw, because then every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And when you get to every man does that which is his own eyes, you get to a place where every man becomes his own God. And the whole basis of that every man, the whole basis of that is to be like God. The whole basis is to become your own God. The whole basis is you pick and you choose what is right and you choose what is wrong. You're on your own. The devil operates through deception. You'll be like and the biggest sin of the Old Testament was not anti-God. The biggest sin in the Old Testament was idolatry. Think about it. Not anti-God. They worshiped, but just worshiped the wrong thing. They worshiped a God. They weren't anti-religious. They were pro-religious. And today, listen, we deal with a society that's becoming, with Oprah leading the pack. She's not advocating become less religious. She's advocating become more religious. Be more, go for it, inner healing, inner peace, go for it. And she speaks about God. But the deal is this, it's a false deception that's being like the Most High, to where it brings you into a place where you become totally, look at this in what Paul wrote. And he wrote the Thessalonians one time. And he'd been with them for a good while, and he talked repeatedly. And when he wrote a letter back to him, and said, I want to remind you of everything I told you. That's what he says. Let no one in any way do what? Deceive you. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness, what's lawlessness? What's somebody's lawlessness? Is they don't have any laws. Is that right? They're a law unto themselves. The man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as what? Antichrist? Anti-God? Anti-religion? No. Chose himself to be God. That was the sin of the devil in the beginning. I want to be like the Most High God. I want to be like God. I want to be possessor of heaven and earth. I want everything God has. I want to be God. And the very end time, this person we call the Antichrist, it's not Antichrist whatsoever. He's pro-Christ. He's for religion. He's going to have a form of godliness. He's going to have all the trappings as if he's a godly person. But mixed into all that stuff is deception. He says, I am Christ. Not that I am again. I am Christ. Showing himself. Look at verse 8 through 12. Did I have those down there? Go on to Thessalonians. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, power and signs and false wonders, and with the deception of wickedness for those who perish. Everybody say deception. See here I am fearful. Paul said, I am afraid for you, lest you have been deceived by the deceiver and left the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. He says, with all the deception of the wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding, listen to this, a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness. You know, in the New Testament, you see it after the coming of Jesus, the early church. Look at this. In Acts, there was a man by the name of Gamaliel who Paul grew up under. Great man of God. But you know what the devil did? Right before the coming of Jesus, the devil sent false prophets that imitated what God was about to do. Listen to just the seeds of doubt that's thrown into the mind of Gamaliel. Pharisee named Gamaliel. What are we going to do with the early church? That's what their problem was. A Pharisee named Gamaliel, teacher of the law, respected by all the people, stood up in the council and gave orders to put the men outside. That was Peter and John, all them. Put them outside. And he said, "Men of Israel, take care what you propose to do with these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. And a group of about 400 men joined up with him, but he was killed and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. And after this, a man, Judas of Galilee, rose up in the days of the census and drew away some of the people after him. And he too perished. And those who followed him, they were all scattered. So in the present case, I say to you, stay away from these." I want you to notice the imitation that the devil had done right before the coming of Jesus and the starting of the early church. Because he planted these seeds just enough to think, "Oh, we've seen this. This isn't going to work. This is false. This isn't real. We had this happen before." And what the devil does, he plants imitations, imitating things. He does it continually. In fact, in the book of Matthew chapter 24, the first coming was imitated by false messiahs. Guess what the second coming is going to be about? Look at this in Matthew. "He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and disciples said, 'Tell us when these things will happen and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age.'" Notice his first words out of his mouth. "See that no one," in the Greek it says, "see that nobody deceives you." What? Tell me about the end time. Yeah, I want the propheticness. I want the years and this and that. I want to know this and that. Tell me about prophetic. He said, "All right, here's number one. Make sure that nobody deceives you. For many will come in my name saying what? I am the Christ." Look at verse 24, what it says. He says, "Many will come, not saying I'm Antichrist, for false Christ and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders so that to mislead." In fact, it says, "if possible, even the elect." Well, what's wrong with homosexuality? Well, I mean, you know, really, what's wrong if they love each other and they're not hurting each other? And I mean, really, what's wrong, man? What's wrong? Well, you got to grow up. Come on, get with the times. What's wrong? Well, if you don't have a Bible as a standard, I could very easily see how you could believe in that. If you didn't have a God that created us and we were just evolving and all, well then, okay. But I've got a word that I've got to come back to and say, I'm not a God unto myself. I've got a God that made male and female. Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve. He made Adam and Eve, put them together in a garden and said, these two shall become one. Either you're going to throw those scriptures away and begin to believe, the stuff, or you're going to stand for God. I don't know about you guys. For me and my house, we're going to stand for God. Come on, somebody. Come on, give a good clap offering. He does not come out standing, and I'll just skip Matthew 13. You read Matthew 13. The Bible story is about tares, the wheat and the tares. The problem with a tare is a tare, or a darnel it was called, looked exactly like a wheat. It was an imitation wheat. And what the devil does is he comes not glaringly against God. He comes out against. John 16 says this. Go to John 16. John says, "These things have I spoken to you that you may keep you from stumbling." Verse 2. "They will make you outcast from the synagogue, but an hour is coming, and everyone who kills you think that he is offering service to God." What if your giving is no longer tax deductible? That will probably happen in the nigh future. What will happen in Canada may very well happen in America, that I could not stand in this pulpit and tell you that God is against abortion and that God is against homosexuality and God is against premarital sex. There may become that when that becomes hate-filled language. as it's in Canada today. You know Canada? There are pastors in jail in Canada for saying what I just said today. Did you hear me?
That could never happen in the United States of America.
First Corinthians 3 says this, let no man deceive himself. Everybody say deceive himself. Let no man, when you think you're something and you're not, he is wise in this age. He must become foolish so he may become wise. You know, I heard a guy one time disproving God. Here was his theme. His theory was this, can God build a mountain too big that he can't climb? In his mind, that disproved there was a God. I understand there's intelligent people. I understand all that. I understand that Paul wrote that one time. He says, there's not many wise. There's not many. He listed the list because God takes the foolish of the world and confounds the wise with them. Doesn't mean if you're wise and God's got some great wise people. And Paul was too. But what he saw was this. God didn't want a bunch of dummies on. But there comes a wisdom that this world does not know of. And there is a God, because I told you, in their wisdom, they become foolish because there are concepts that we cannot even grasp. How big something can get, how small something can get. Where's the end of the universe? When did it begin? How we got to go back because there's no beginning and no end. We cannot grasp that. We're finite beings. So there comes a point. You know what? 2 Timothy, Paul wrote this and he said, but realize in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irrespectable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited. Does that sound like our age or not? Reckless, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Notice this. Holding to a form of godliness. Holding to a form. I go to church. My candidate goes to church. I mean, he goes to church. What good is that? Whether he's Democrat or whether he's Republican, if he's not really born again, all he's doing is window shade. You know, he's just putting some window dressing on because he's going to govern by his heart. That's why I'm going to tell you the truth. I enjoyed sitting and talking to Bobby Jindal the other night. He's true. And I would like to have him as my president. I'll just say that someday. Oh, and by the way, he is Indian. You know he's Indian, right? Okay, I just wanted you to know that. He's Indian. Holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. Denied its power how? In changing a life, doing all that you can do. Galatians 5, or 6 and 3 says, a man is deceived when he thinks he's something, when he is nothing. Verse 7 says, look at this. It says, Galatians 6. It says, do not be deceived. What a man sows, a man reaps. Okay, we're out of time. I want musicians to come on up this morning. Let me tell you the good part now. The good part is, go on to Luke chapter 8, if you would. I'm going to put that scripture up there. The good part is this. How do you keep from being deceived? How do you keep from being deceived? Look what Luke 8 says. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. You know what? You know how you keep from being deceived? One of the biggest keys in my life is absolute and total integrity of heart. Honesty is not the best policy. Honesty is the only policy. And if you would be ruthless with yourself in everything you say, everything you decide, everything that you do, if you would be ruthless with yourself and say, that's not true, I'm going to live in integrity, I'm going to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward man, I'm going to right my wrongs, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to... You know, one of the things about integrity, it comes from the way they used to make vases many years ago. And sometimes a vase would crack, and what they would do is they would stick wax in it, and then they would cover it over and paint it, and you couldn't tell it'd been cracked. And the word integrity came from that. Whether if you wanted a pot, he said, I want an integral pot. Well, if somebody, a pot with integrity, you know what that means? There's no cracks. There's no hidden cracks that somebody's covered over. If a pot got cracked in that, they could take it and they could remold it and reshape it into another pot. But what happens is they would just fill it in with wax, and it was without integrity. What happens is you just let all the cracks, you just, okay, God, I got a crack here. I need to be remade. And it does like Jeremiah says, I'll make a new work. I will put the potter, and I'll be the potter in your life, and I'll make a new work, and you'll be a woman. You'll be a man of integrity. Doesn't mean you never had any cracks. Doesn't mean you didn't fall. Doesn't mean you got busted up somewhere along the road. Doesn't mean all that. It just means from this day forward, I choose to be a man or a woman of integrity. I'm going to be ruthless with what I say. I'm going to be truthful. If it was 2 inches, it wasn't 5 inches. If it belongs to the company pencil, I'm going to leave the company pencil at the company. I'm not going to say it doesn't matter. I'm going to say my heart, it matters. Because as goes your heart, so goes you. The issues of the heart, out of it flows. Guard your heart with all diligence. Out of it flows the issues of life. It comes to a place where you decide. Now, let me tell you something. When we come to that place and where we're at, I thank God. Because for the day we live in, I did this. I can't hold this up for you. How many of you saw the diamonds when you came in? We spent about 80 grand this weekend for diamonds put on this little piece of paper. And the reason is, if I take these diamonds right here and I put them in my hand, you can see them okay. But diamonds never show up as they do when you go to a jewelry place. They bring out this blue velvet or this black velvet and they put it on those diamonds, and those diamonds just shimmer and shine. And the Bible says that those that turn many to righteousness shall shine like the stars. You know, one of the best, when God sent his son, he didn't send it then when there was godly rulers in the earth. You think, I'm going to send my son Jesus. I'm going to wait till there was godly, you know, whether Democrat or Republican, I'm going to put godly people in power. And that's going to really, really help the cause and Jesus being able to establish the church. And that's going to really help it. One of the most ruthless kings that ever lived was when Jesus was born. The point, he was so mad that he sent soldiers to kill all the babies in Bethlehem, and they had to take Jesus and flee to Egypt. And then growing up, Jesus one time was asked, and he said, you tell that fox. Everybody say that fox. I'll do miracles today and tomorrow, and then it's not right for a prophet to perish outside Jerusalem. You know what? Let me tell you, Paul the Apostle, the early church was spread when he had the most ungodly kings from Nero on up. From Nero, one of the worst ones that burnt Christians on poles as candles and blamed the burning of Rome on. God brought the beginning of the church when the most ungodly rulers were in power. And we fret because we may think who we wanted or didn't want gets in power. You know what I fear more than anything is when who you want in power gets in power. Then you start trusting in government. One of the worst times for the church was during the Reagan years. Because they had more faith in Ronald Reagan than they did in God. He was a great man. I'm not going to put down on him. I'm just telling you the reaction of people that I saw. They had more faith in that than they had in what God can do. And what you come to a place in life is this. Okay, God, I was brought into the kingdom for such a time as this. And I'm going to be you. Come on, everybody stand up. Give the Lord a good clap offering. We'll stand up. Mike, you guys ready? Everybody stand up. Mike, lead us in a good song. While they lead us in this song, here's what I want you to do. I want you to deal with your heart. Am I a man of integrity? Am I a woman of integrity? Every business deal, every promise, every statement, every recounting of a past story, I want you to be ruthless. I'm not balancing that. I'm telling you, be ruthless with yourself. Paul said, I have a conscience void of offense toward God and man. I don't have one thing bothering my conscience. I don't have one thing bothering my heart. I don't have one thing that I know of, Paul said, that I have done wrong. I'm not my judge. God will judge me. And I ask the Lord, show me my heart. But there are seasons when you say, okay, Lord, I want to be a man and a woman of integrity. I don't want any falseness. I don't want a wax hidden in the cracks and covered over with new paint and new gloss. I want to be, you know, sometimes you're just brought down to the bare wood of the cross. You know, when Jesus was crucified, it wasn't some cross that was shellacked and cut square and gorgeous and painted and or stained. And it wasn't that way. Sometimes we've got to get back just to the bare wood of the cross. where we are crucified with Christ. The old man dies, and we live now by a new life, a new Christ that's in us. And this morning, I want to encourage you as your pastor. I want you not to put your hope in man, but I want you to put your hope in God. And I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to buy into the religion of this world. I don't want you to become more religious. I want you to become more like Jesus. I want you to fall in love with him and love him with all your heart. Well, Mike and them lead us in this song. I want you to just to ask that as a prayer before the Lord. Go ahead, Mike.
You are my strength.